years ago, I preached revival's coming. We saw judgment come to the house of God. A whole lot of shaking going on from the pulpit to the pew. Our champions were falling. God was exposing sin to expel sin. You see, he don't want anybody to go to hell. He wants everybody to be saved. I don't care how good you preach. You can preach like a house of fire, an angel from heaven. But if there's sin in you, sin will not enter in. God done us a favor. He judged us. And oh, how it hurt. It embarrassed us. The televangelism fiasco. I said, Lord, I've been preaching revival's coming. And now judgment's here. God said, keep preaching it. Keep preaching it. And so I kept preaching. Revival's coming. I began to see some things that were encouraging to me. I saw churches start to call prayer meetings again. They shut down everything. And people begin to cry out to God for fresh oil. Lord, we've tried everything. Madison Avenue techniques. Flashing flamboyant personalities. But Father, it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. And I saw the church come back to basics. 3 years ago, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, God leading Pastor Baser, he called this group to prayer meetings. Really beyond 3 years ago, but for 3 years, intense, fervent, forceful prayer has been going up. Lord, we want revival. Sin revival. Not just another guest speaker, but a genuine, pure, unmitigated, unadulterated Holy Ghost revival. Dr. Cho in 1991 was ministering in Seattle, Washington. He ministers all over the world. He pastors close to 1 million people. He spends 3 to 5 hours a day in prayer. But he said, Lord, have you reserved America for judgment? Or are you going to send revival to America? God led him to get out his attaché case. He pulled his atlas out, laid it on the bed. The Holy Spirit gave him divine direction, said these words as he pointed to the map. I'm going to send a mighty wave of my glory to America. It's going to begin in a seaside city called Pensacola, Florida. It'll burn like a match head there, but then it will spread all over the nation till all of America is ablaze with the glory of the Lord. How many knows that Oklahoma is part of America, Arkansas, Kansas, and Missouri? 22 months ago, the bottom dropped out of heaven in Pensacola, Florida, a church that had been praying for 2.5 years for revival. I've seen nothing like it, folks. I go down once a month just for 3 nights, laying in the presence of the Lord. It's awesome. Delegations of people flying in from all over the world, people driving buses from all over the nation because there's an open heaven above that place. But I'm going to tell you something. 16 weeks ago, the heavens opened above First Assembly at Miami, Oklahoma. And for 16 weeks, over 10,000 people have repented. Thousands have come through the door. And you're here tonight because you're hungry to see the glory. How many wants to see the glory? Oh, yeah. I want to see the glory of the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a hand of praise. Jesus. Jesus is the center of attention. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. God bless you. You're seated. Thank you, musicians. And I just want to tell you, folks, this is the most exciting day to be alive and living for the Lord. I saw in a vision people lining up outside to get in the church. I saw people driving for miles. We're seeing that fulfilled. Pastors, because you're hungry and because you're bringing people to this revival, I believe in the law of reciprocity, God is going to seize your facilities and God's going to make your church a watering hole for the whole area. And I believe that within a matter of 3 to 5 months, there won't be a city in America where there will not be a church in the red hot heat of Holy Ghost revival all the time. All the time. Hallelujah. Why do you say that? Because, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is coming. He's getting us ready. There are people here that have laid down denominational tags. God didn't even see the name over your door when he walked in. He saw your hungry heart. And I'm telling you right now, he's got a body and it's a big body. And he's refreshing, reviving his body. What you're going to see tonight is you're going to see a crowd of people run down to the front in a few moments and repent. Everybody say repent. It's the message for this mess age. Repent. The last prophet of the old regime, John the Baptist, before Jesus came the first time, he said, repent. Before Jesus comes the second time, the church, John the Baptist, a prototype, we're preaching repent. So in a few moments, God's going to convict you of sin. I'm going to give you an invitation to come clean and clear with him. And it's not a neat, nice, tidy, packaged little altar call. It's God moving, setting people free from demon possession, oppression, obsession. I'm telling you something, folks. Demons are screaming. They're leaving. They're put on the run. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. Then after we repent, there are prayer teams along with myself and Pastor Brother Jerry that will come out. We will pray over you. We will barely touch you. Nobody here is on an ego trip. If we push you, push us. It's not about pushing you. You'll see a lot of people falling tonight, but you know what? We don't seek that. You'll see people shaking, but we don't seek that. People will weep. They will laugh. There's all kinds of manifestations. And if you're able to plug into a socket and say, well, me, oh my, me feels like me feels a tingle in my pinky, more power to you. How many knows? We're plugging into the power that created the universe. There's a whole lot of shaking going on and shouting and falling and weeping and laughing. So we don't know how you're going to react when you plug into God. But I'm telling you, this revival is about changed lives. Say it with me. Changed on a floor in Pensacola, Florida, the month of March. The third time on my back. I've never been one to fall in the presence of God. I said, Lord, I know this is you, but what are you doing? And he told me. How many knows he'll tell you when you ask him? He said, I'm taking the junk out of you. I'm putting my glory in you. Changed my life, folks. Changed my wife. She's always been behind me. Now she's beside me. And I thank God for that. And so you're here tonight. God's going to speak to your heart, going to change your life. You'll never be the same. And I thank God for that. And I'll tell you, this next week is a momentous week here for the state of Oklahoma. Revival fires are spreading all over this state. It's a sovereign move of God. We're bringing the Pensacola outpouring team to Crossroads Cathedral next Monday and Tuesday night. While revival's going on there, we'll be having revival here. And we believe there's enough people all over this state to go to both revivals. Amen. And so I just want you to know, folks, regardless of the weather, I tell you, we've got a pastor here that he don't get afraid if he sees snow or ice, because he's got people that are sliding into this place on sleds. Amen. And so I said that to say, you don't have to wonder, maybe so, maybe no, we're here. We're here Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 7 o'clock. And so pastors, go back, get your people, bring them back, bring van loads, bus loads. Spread the news, noise the news abroad. Word of mouth is still the best advertisement. And so we're going to be here. If you're from over at that side of the state, you want to go to hear the Pensacola Outpouring team, they'll be at Dan Schaefer's Monday and Tuesday night. Brother Paul Wetzel, who pastors Ferry Pass Assembly of God, who is the brother-in-law John Kilpatrick, will be ministering Sunday morning, Sunday night at Bixby Assembly of God for Brother David Dillon, a mighty man of God, powerful preacher. And then Wednesday night for Brother Dacus. Is Brother Dacus here tonight? Brother Dacus, God bless you, my friend. He'll be there in Oklahoma City for Brother Dacus. And so all I'm telling you is there's revival going on somewhere all the time. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You know, a real sign of the time, you can look at the Middle East all you want, but all you got to do is look right here in the middle of America and see people shut their television off and look for some place to go to church every night. I want to go someplace where they're having church. Hallelujah. Brother and Sister Johnny Barnes have come all the way from Branson to be with us down that way. And I'm going to tell you, some folks called today are coming from Tennessee to be here next week. Another friend called from down around St. Louis. He's a pastor. Here's what he said. He just said, John, I've got to get in revival. I'm sick of myself. How many's ever heard that before? Boy, the Holy Ghost is really doing a work on all of us. And I didn't have to coax or anything. He said, I'm sick of myself. He said, I'm coming, and I'm going to get a motel and go to the revival next week. And so what I'm telling you is people are coming in. We'll be here next week. And so we invite you to come and to share this time with us. Excuse me just a minute. I'll take some water to run this windmill. Amen. And so I've got to wet my whistle. 16 weeks, I tell you, you can tell it. Thank you, Bill, for helping me back there. Bill just disappeared. The rapture just took place. Ain't nobody back here. Ladies and gentlemen, James 4:7. Everybody say James 4:7. I want you to quote it with me. You don't have to turn there. You know it verbatim. Familiar favorite. You can quote it verbatim or at least give the essence. Don't even turn there. I'm going to give you a test. How many knows James 4, 7? One. Boy, I tell you folks. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How many knows James 4, 7? Okay, bless you. I want you to quote it with me again. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Last night I preached on the devil, satanic aggression, a mighty move of God last night. Awesome presence of the Lord. I thank God for that. God won't let me get away from this subject. For some reason, he wants me to minister upon our enemy tonight, and I don't take it lightly. I know that the enemy is going to try to keep you from hearing what God has to say. Some of you are under direct attack and assault from the foul force of darkness. God knows it. He brought you here tonight to set you free. The devil knows it. He's going to try to stop you. But how many knows the devil has already been defeated 2,000 years ago? I want you to give Jesus a hand of praise. There's so much bad news related with the devil. All bad things come from him. Every morning the headlines are screaming sin, brutality, hostility, and infamy. Sins and trends and signs of the time point to the end of time. Corruption, raging and rampaging throughout us. Sin sick, hell bent, money mad, sex crazed, power hungry, degenerate, unregenerate, apostate, reprobate society. And I could grab for more superlatives and adjectives, but I can never depict to you all of the evil that's out there in the world. The word evil is found in the middle of the word devil. He is the epitome and the embodiment of all evil. Ladies and gentlemen, there's so much bad about him. But tonight I want to share some good news about the devil. Don't misunderstand me. There's nothing good about the boogerman. But there's some good news about the devil. And the good news is this, ladies and gentlemen, his devices are exposed. His dominion is limited. His days have been numbered. His defeat has been secured. How many knows that's good news? That's good news about the devil. Number one, in Corinthians, Paul says, "For we are not ignorant of the devil's devices." Paul said 9 times, "I would not have you ignorant, brethren." And so the Bible teaches us that there is a captivity and a destruction that comes when you don't know. What you don't know can hurt you. And so remember that. The Bible says, "My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge." My people. He's talking about us. My people are captive. Hosea 4:6, Isaiah 5:13. My people destroyed, bound. Because of lack of knowledge. Somebody told me the other day about General Wainwright. After the war was over for 2 or 3 days, the Japanese didn't tell him. And so he thought the war was still on. And so he lived with that fear. Lived in bondage, in prison. He didn't know that the treaty had been signed. The war was over and it was finished. I heard another story, supposedly about soldiers in World War II who would cower in caves, not knowing that the war was ended. But because of fear and trepidation, they stayed in bondage. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I want you to come out of your caves, and tonight I want you to realize that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And God's going to set you free tonight from fear of the devil. The haunting, taunting, tormenting, foul force of oblivion is not to harass you, intimidate, dominate, or humiliate you tonight. We're going to expose him, expel him, turn the tide on him, shine heaven's Holy Ghost flashlight on him, and say, "Devil, get back, get down, get off, get out of here. In the name of Jesus, there's victory. Your devices have been exposed." His number one device, he's a liar. Everybody say he's a liar. In the beginning, he attacked the word of God to twist and to distort. If he can't destroy the word, then he will deny the word. If that doesn't work, he'll distort the word. And here's what he said. In the beginning, ye shall not surely die. In other words, it's not going to happen like God said. In other words, you can't believe God. In other words, you never know what God will do. That's a lie. How many knows he'll do what he said he would do? Simple as that. In other words, he won't do what he says. Ladies and gentlemen, what God said in that black back book, you can stake everything you are and hope to be upon it. It shall come to pass. But the devil is a liar. And so if his mouth's moving, he always lying. Say amen, somebody. Just remember that. Those voices in your head, the enemy that comes and begins to twist and to distort. And if you don't know that word, it's not long before you'll be biting the bait, and he'll come to seduce, soothe, and sear, trick, trip, trap. And all of a sudden you'll find yourself, your heart may be right and ready for heaven, but your head is messed up and you believe his lie. He's a liar. He says it won't happen like God said. The Pharisees believed the Bible. I said the Pharisees believed the Bible. The Pharisees believed in miracles in bygone days. They believed that the axe head floated. They believed that the Red Sea divided. They believed the Jordan River was departed. They believed, ladies and gentlemen, that the walls of Jericho fell down. They believed that David whooped Goliath. They believed three holy Hebrews were saved in the fiery furnace and Daniel was delivered from a lion's den. They believed that God did it then, but they didn't believe that God could do it now. And so they were believing the lie of the devil. And the devil will tell you that God took care of his kids in bygone days of yesteryear, but he can't take care of your car payment and your house payment. He can't protect your kids. Many have been the nights when I've been on the field separated from my wife and my son, when I would find myself waking up in the middle of the night hearing a voice saying, I'm killing your boy. I'm going to destroy your wife. And he would put all kinds of awful, awesome, grotesque, gruesome pictures in my mind what he would do to my family. That's the devil. And immediately you've got to rebuke him and resist him and realize he is a liar. I said he is a liar. Don't bite his bait. Put him on the run in the name of Jesus. You see, the Pharisees believed it happened, but they didn't believe it's going to happen. And so they would sit there and nitpick and ridicule and judgmental attitude. They would just hound and haunt Jesus, believing the lie of the devil. I like Hebrews 13 and 8, where it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the best definition I found of that is this: what he did, he does. What he said, he says. What he was, he is. How many knows? He never changes. I said he never changes. He's always taking care of his children. He's a good father. He's never been sued for non-support. Can somebody say amen? So I want you to realize that fear that comes and that trepidation, that's from the evil one. He comes lying. The second lie he told Adam and Eve, the reason God doesn't want you to eat the tree, because he knows it's good for you. It's like him saying the reason that your parents don't want you to go out play in the traffic is because they know something good is going to happen to you. The devil is a liar. If his mouth is a moving, he is a liar. His devices are exposed. We're not ignorant of his devices. When he came to Jesus, the first in the beginning, he attacked the first Adam by trying to distort the word. He came to the last Adam, and there again, he came quoting and misquoting and taking out of context the word of God. But Jesus knew how to unsheath the sword of the Spirit. And he pulls it out of the scabbard of his memory and he swings the sword three times and says, it is written, it is written, it is written. He said, get behind me, Satan. The devil got behind him and he's been behind ever since. I said, he's been behind. Put him where he belongs. I said, put him behind you, under your feet. Don't believe his lie. His devices have been exposed. I said, good news. He may be mighty, but God is almighty. Good news. He may be powerful, but God is all powerful. Good news. He may be the prince, but I know who the king is. How many knows who the king is? Good news. He's great. But greater, I said, greater is he that's in you than he that's after you. How many knows? His devices have been exposed. And all I'm telling you is you don't have to be ignorant. Now, if you're going to sit around and you're going to try to figure him out and you're going to talk with him and have a conversation with him and negotiate and compromise, he's not to be in your face. He's to be under your feet. Write a message to the devil on the bottom of your shoe and say, devil, my heel has an appointment with your head. Now get in your place. Your place is not in my mind, on my back, on my family. Get out of my bedroom. Get out of my kitchen. Get out of my living room. Get out of my car. I'm not even talking to you, devil. Jesus. Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I could spend a lot of time on that, but I'm telling you right now, there's going to be times when the pastor is not within reach, the evangelist is not within reach, but you've got a Bible. That's your manual. I said, that is your manual. That's your battle manual. That's your army manual. That is your victory manual. And all you need to know about the devil is found there. You don't have to go find a satanic Bible or call some kind of 800 number, anything like that. Folks, just stay in the Word. God will tell you who he is. God will tell you, number one, his devices are exposed. His devices, temptation. His devices, condemnation, accusation, deception. He comes the same way. He may come as a master masquerader and try to slip on your blind side, but he's the devil, always been the devil, always will be the devil. And if you know the Word of God, he's not going to have the jump on you. And that's the good news, folks, because I don't see Jesus tossing and turning at night. Why are you? Why are you tossing and turning at night, worrying about your kids and worrying about finances and worrying about your future? Jesus Christ, I don't see him doing that. I see him with confident assurance, possessed with a purpose, knew who he was, where he was going, what he was supposed to do, knew God, knew man, knew the devil. That's good news. I got better news. He wants me to be like him. He wants you to be like him. Amen. There's a place in God where you worry the devil more than he worries you. And I want to get in that place. I've got good news about the devil. His devices have been exposed. We know what he does. We know how he works. And we're not going to be caught off guard. Number two, and I really, as I try to leave that point, I've got to go, but I've got to leave you with this, folks. Get in the Word. Dive and delve into that book, I'm telling you. Read it in, pray it through, work it out, pass it on. Read it in, pray it through, work it out, pass it on. Read it in, soak it in prayer, apply it, share it. God's going to build you up, and the devil's not going to catch you off guard. God's Word will prepare you. I said, God's Word will prepare you. The devil comes, hit him with a 2x4. Acts 2 and 4. Say amen, somebody. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Hit him with a 4x4. John 4 and 4. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Stay in the Word. I said stay in the Word. Safety and security in the Word. Number two, good news about the devil. His dominion is limited. If you think for a minute that he's just out there free for all and do anything that he pleases, anytime he pleases to God's children, you don't know the Word. Because when he came to attack Job, he had to go before God and say, Father, may I? Say amen, somebody. And I don't understand all that I know about that situation, but I know the Bible says in Corinthians, God knows your low limit, will not allow anything on you that you cannot handle. You plus God are a majority. And so I want you to realize when you stay under the blood, in the Word, filled with the Holy Spirit, full of praise and prayer, I'm going to tell you right now, folks, the devil cannot just beat and badger you around. He can huff and puff and bluff, but he can't blow your house down. And his greatest plot, ploy, plan is bluff. Amen. He will tell you that he'll do this to you. He'll do that to you. What you got to do is say, no, you won't, devil. In the name of Jesus, I come against you. I rebuke you. Get back in your place, devil. Get back in your... You got to remind him, folks. He forgets. I said, he forgets. Amen. You see, he's got brain damage. Jesus stepped on his head and he can't remember, and you got to remind him, devil, get in your place. There was a man that came to pray at a church. He prayed with that New York Eastern Brogue, Boston Brogue, and he was saying, Father, curtail the devil. But he didn't pronounce it just right. He was in a church full of hillbillies. He said, Father, cut tail the devil. Father, cut tail the devil. One hillbilly said, yeah, Lord, cut his tail plumb off. Amen. Oh, yes. He's a roaring lion, but as I read the Word, he's a lion on a leash. I want you to listen to what I'm saying, folks. If you think for a moment, even when God gave the devil permission to attack Job, he said, don't you touch him. Don't you take his life. It was a test of faith to prove Job's faith in God and God's faith in Job. But the devil was limited. He cannot just do what he wants at his own whim. The Bible says he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That means he can't devour everybody. He's seeking whom. Who is the whom he may devour? It's those that don't cast the care on Jesus. Read about it in 1 Peter 5. It's those that don't submit to God and resist the devil. See, if you just lay back and let him have his way, he'll come in, invade your home, And I'm going to tell you, some of us are giving place to him and we don't realize it. I said the other night, come on in, Mr. Devil. Sit down, Mr. Devil. Have a deviled egg, Mr. Devil. Here's some devil fruit cake, Mr. Devil. And we let him come in our home through the television media. We let him come in our home through rock and roll music. We let him come in our home through posters and plaques and different things. I'm telling you something, folks. The Bible says you submit yourself to God and you resist the devil. He will flee from you. How many knows? He will run from you if you'll stand and say, no, devil, you can't come in. The Bible says the thief cometh to kill, steal, and destroy. It doesn't say he will. He says he comes to. And so he wants to seek whom he may devour. But you've got to stand up. If Christ cast out Satan with the finger of God, think what the entire body can do. Well, some of you missed it. I'm going to share that one again. If Christ cast out the devil with the finger of God, think what the entire body can do. Now, I want you to listen, folks. Hold your applause. I'm going to tell you. For too long, we've lived below our privilege in God. We've asked God to do what he's told us to do. We said, Lord, bind the devil. He said, no, I'll bind him someday when I send an angel down and bind him and put him on a 1,000-year chain gang. But until then, I give you the authority, the anointing, the ability, the atonement, the attorney, and whatever you bind on earth, it shall be bound in him. Come on, folks. I said, it's time we rise up, put the devil in his place in the name of Jesus. Victory every day, all the way. God gave man dominion over every creeping thing. And the devil's the biggest creep in the world. Say amen, somebody. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That verse right there tells me that there are weapons formed against you. It doesn't say no weapon shall be formed against you. But it says no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And here's the reason. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, the strongest nation in the world. Devil, get down. You're trying to climb back up. You've been cast out. Get back down. Get in your place. You forgot again, devil. You ding-dong, ding-a-ling, dense, dunce, doofus, dummy, dirty devil. Get down, get back, get out of here. You're not going to get my kids, my mind, my family, my finances, my future. You can't have it. In the name of Jesus. My life is hid with Christ in God. That's double insulation. Christ in God. God is for me. Jesus is with me. The Holy Ghost is in me. Ladies and gentlemen, angels are flying all around me. Heaven's above me. Goodness and mercy's following me. Amen. And underneath all the everlasting arms, I'm surrounded by God. I said, I'm surrounded by God. I'm telling you right now, you can't win. You can't lose for winning. You don't have to psych yourself up to be optimistic. No, no, no. All you got to do is be realistic. Read the book. I said, stay in the Word of God. Know who you are and whose you are. It's not your ability, capability, reliability. Ladies and gentlemen, it's His anointing, His authority, His atonement, His attorney. He does it all. The battle is the Lord's. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. He's got to go. I said, he's got to go. Good news about the devil. I said, good news about the devil. His devices are exposed. His dominion is limited. And his days have been numbered. Revelation 12 and 12, he knows he's got but a short time. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're discouraged because you see so much satanic activity, I want you to look at it like you look at a going out of business sale. It is a big... Boy, you folks are fast. Amen. Some of the greatest activity you'll ever see is at a big going out of business sale. And I mean, people are there, activity is there, hustling and bustling, and so much going on. But listen, folks, they're going out of business soon. It's going to be empty. Nothing's going to be going on. And the devil is working hard. He's working overtime. He's commissioning bull demons from another world, everything you can to stop the revival, folks. He can't stop it. He knows it. He's a liar. I said he's been defeated 2,000 years ago. He's on the way out. He's having a going out of business sale. There's a lot of activity, but hold on to God. I said, hold on. He's going down. He's going out. It's just about over. Jesus is coming and the church is leaving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His defeat has been secured. And I saw an angel with a big chain. And you know, when I see that angel, it's not an angel with a big A, it's an angel with a little A. And so that angel, a little A angel, comes down at the bidding of God and binds the devil. And the Bible says, shuts him up. Boy, I like the way it says that in King James. Shuts him up. and puts him in a bottomless pit. I'm going to tell you something, folks. His defeat has been secured. Jesus, when he said it is finished, he didn't say, devil, I'm finished. He said, you're finished. It's over for you. Now, the devil knows it, but he don't want you to know it. His plot, ploy, and plan is to lie to you and to get you at that place that you will set back passively. Now listen close, because as I read this one verse, the Bible teaches that there is to be passive submission to God, but active resistance against the devil. And I've seen both extremes. I've seen some fight the devil in the flesh. That causes burnout, because if you don't submit to God and you try to fight the devil in the flesh, one-on-one, person-to-person, hand-to-hand combat, you're no match for him. And so realize that. And so if I just got up here and said, resist the devil, he'll flee from you, I'd be doing what the devil does. I'd be pulling scripture out of context, misquoting it. That's not the whole verse. It says, submit yourself therefore to God. Every area of your life, past, present, future, attitude, appetites, affection, priorities, motives, mind, soul, body, spirit, family, finance, everything you are, submitted to him. No sin in you. The devil don't have anything in you or on you. He can't blackmail you, blackball you, blacklist you. Everything's under the blood. In total submission to God, you come to that place, you don't just lay back passively and say, thank you, God, for doing it. No, when the devil comes, submitted to God, you rise up. You take the sword of the Spirit, you cut him down to size. You say, in the name of Jesus, you plead the blood of Jesus. You stand under the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, we've got the power in us that created the devil. I said, we've got the power within us that created the devil. He's a ghost called holy. And so when you submit yourself to God, then when he comes around, you actively stand up and you resist him. We wrestle not. Wrestling. It's the only sport I know where there's constant body contact. You get down there and say, no. I said, no, I mean no. So here's what you got to do. You say yes to God and you say no to the devil. You say yes to the word and no to sin. Yes to the Holy Spirit, no to the world. Yes to revival, no to self. Yes, God, I want all that you have for me. I said last night, Steve Hill called me yesterday morning early, gave me a report of the revival. I'm telling you, charge me. I jumped out of that bed shouting, amen. I'm going to tell you what he told me. He said there's a pastor came down with his deacons to the revival in Pensacola, Florida. And if you've been there and if you've been here, you know there's manifestations. We don't build it on manifestations, but people are shaking and falling and weeping. And right there in that revival, the pastor was offended because he saw people shaking. And he really couldn't handle that. There's something about our intellectual pride that somehow we grimace at that and we resist that and we want to be more dignified. But God is doing things. I'm telling you, some folks, some people would refer the quietness of a cemetery over the noise of maternity ward. But how many knows? I want to hear some babies crying. I said, I want to hear some newborn babies crying. I want to hear some shouting. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. It's a mess when babies are born. But how many knows? There's life. I said, there's life. In the middle of it all, he couldn't handle it. He left that revival that night, and with the deacons in the car, he said, I just don't believe that was God. He said, look at me. He said, I can do what that girl was doing. And he started to shake, and when he did, he started screaming. He said, my God, stop the car, stop the car. They stopped the car, and he got out on his face and cried like a baby and repented, and he's been shaking ever since. How many knows God's God? I said, God is God. My God, folks, submit yourself to God. Don't try to figure it out. Lay aside your persimmon-headed peanut brain. Say amen, somebody. You can't even figure your own life out. Why are you trying to figure God out? I mean, what is it about the service you don't like? Was it the people, you know, jumping and bebopping? I'm going to tell you some folks, if you would do that, I don't do any calisthenics at home. I get my exercise here. Amen. You get in shape spiritually and physically. Me and Pastor, we're going to start a duet. We're singing together. It's an awesome sound coming out of our mouths. You ought to hear us. I hope to God they never shut the choir down for a moment to hear me and him. I'm telling you some folks. Jerry makes us think we can sing. What is it? What is it about this you don't like? Well, I'm going to tell you, what you don't like about this is the same thing the Pharisees didn't like about it. They said, shut those kids up. Tell your disciples to be quiet. Jesus said, no, the rocks are going to cry out. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's time to let go of your pride and give God glory and worship him with all of your heart. Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, if this offends you, And if you're offended because you see people shaking and weeping, you begin to decipher and discern. You say, well, that's flesh, and that's not, and that may be, and this is 50% flesh. You start doing that, you're 100% flesh. How many knows what I'm saying? If that person next to you offends you because they're shaking, you're offended them because you're not shaking. Amen. So I'm going you see, it's not about shaking or falling. It's about worshiping God. And that Bible word submit, that's an awesome word. And I'm going to tell you, it's a deep subject. Some of you that feel like you've submitted to God, you're really not. In a few moments, the Holy Spirit's going to show you areas of your life that are unsurrendered. That is why that you're screaming at the devil, and the harassing, haunting, tormenting, foul force of oblivion is screaming back, coming up in your face. God said, you submit to me. And I can say it with my lips, but with my life, he knows when he has everything. I'm not my own. I've been preaching 21 years. It's only been in recent years, recent months, that God has got total control. Me and my wife, and we're not trying to make anything happen. Go anywhere, do anything. We're his. I believe this river anointing in the land is going to carry us into a rapture. It's just about over, folks. I preached revivals coming for years, and the message has changed. I'm preaching revivals here. Jesus is coming. We don't have time to start another denomination. You don't need another church across the street. You need every church in America that claims his name to get on fire, to get in the flow, to get in the anointing. Come on, folks. You don't need another committee. You need the red hot heat of Holy Ghost revival. Submit yourself to what God is doing. Submit yourself to what God is doing. Now, once you're totally submitted, now listen close. And I've shared this in past services. But Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, and he findeth nothing in me. And I preached a message, what does the devil have in you? I'm not talking about demon possession. But I'm talking about he has something in you that belongs to him. And so he'll blackmail you. He'll blackball you. He'll blacklist you. You haven't confessed all those sins. You haven't completely submitted to God. What does the devil have in you? You didn't have to get in that little remote control car that I got from a boy to drive it. I could stand back and move buttons, make that car turn all over the place. And sometimes we've got things in us that belong to the devil, and the devil stands back, and he begins to maneuver, manipulate. I'm talking about influence. I'm talking about obsession, not possession. Because I will always believe that once you're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, you belong to him, you're not your own. And you can't serve two masters. But there is a middle ground between possession and oppression. And I've seen this all my life and didn't know how to deal with it. Preachers obsessed with greed. Members obsessed with lust. Obsessed with fear. Obsessed with worry. It's more than just an assault from the outside pressing on your mind. There's a spirit that's come in your mind. If you were to see that little demon force, that little gremlin-like minion, demon of darkness, it'll scare you half to death. But I'm telling you right now, folks, I've seen it happen, and you have too. And don't try to figure it out with your carnal mind. Just realize that God wants you to submit every area. You are a spirit. You live in a body. You have a soul. And that soul is your imagination, your memory, your mind, your emotions, and your will. And you can submit your emotions tonight and never submit your will to God. You can clap your hands all night long, jump up and down, and not submit your will to God. Now, you know what I'm talking about now. I don't have to belabor this point, folks. I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, amen. I don't want to go there again. Because you can enjoy a service and get out there where the rubber meets the road, demons screaming around your head, shot out of the saddle before midnight because God is not in control of your life. And the devil will jump right beside you. He'll jump up and down beside you. When the altar call is given for you to repent of sin, he'll hold you back because he wants you to hold on to that pornography. He wants you to hold on to that HBO and that Showtime. My mom's in heaven tonight. She called it H-O-B. Amen. She said, everybody's got to get rid of that H-O-B. And she called rap music, rap music. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. The devil will jump up and down with you. He'll clap his hands with you. But don't you get too close to God. He don't want you to submit. Because he would rather you not submit totally to God and then scream at him. He's not going to run from you. Because you see, he's got something in you that belongs to him. And that gives him right to reach inside of you and torment you. He came to Eve. He found a disobedient spirit, got a hold of it, brought her down. He came to Achan, found a covetous spirit, got a hold of it, brought him down. Came to Samson, found a lustful spirit, got a hold of it, brought him down. Came to David, found an adulterous spirit, got a hold of it, brought him down. Came to Demas, found a worldly spirit, got a hold of it, brought him down. Came to Jesus, found the Holy Spirit, couldn't get a hold of anything. Jesus said he's cast out. He came, but he's gone. He came, but he's gone. He's being judged right now. Why? Because there's power. I said there's power in the name of Jesus to resist the devil when you're submitted to God. I want you to take some time and lift your hands and praise him. What I'm going to share next is going to be heavy. Get ready for it. Lift your hands and praise the Lord tonight. Lift your hands and praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to totally submit and praise and worship, not just your emotions, but your will. What I'm going to share now, I'm going to move into an area I believe God wants me to walk in. This message has been bathed in prayer all day long. I'm not playing golf during the day. I'm not visiting with you, folks. I love you, but I'm telling you right now, this revival is becoming so focused. When God showed me it's a major revival, it's going to turn into an awakening that's going to shake a whole Midwest. It's going to spread. I'm telling you right now, when I saw it, I said, my God, I'm going to lay before you till you give me what to say, then I'm going to say it. And God's going to set you free. You'll never be the same. Revival is going to break out in your churches. But your church has to know what it is to submit totally to God. Not just lift a hand and give God a nod when the preacher says to do it. Because if you go home with that critical spirit, that judgmental attitude, that junk in you, that junk don't come from God, that belongs to the devil. He's got something in you that belongs to him. So he's got the right to jerk you around like a remote car. He don't have to possess you. He moves you around, and you know what I'm talking about. On Sunday, in the presence of praise and worship, you've got peace, love, and joy. On Monday, depression, blues, agony, misery, blahs. My God, what in the world's going on? Am I possessed? The devil says, yes, you are. How many knows that's what he says? But he knows you're not possessed. But he'll just lie to you, and you're led by your emotions instead of being led by God. You're driven by fear. You're driven by worry. You're driven by depression. You're driven by the powers of hell instead of being led by the Spirit of God. I want you to look at a preacher that knows what I'm saying. I've been there, folks. And there's a place of total deliverance. I want everybody to look at me and listen to me. When I talk about deliverance, the reason some of you don't have victory over the devil, and I don't mind you getting real quiet, because you see, I used to think that they was really with me when they were just jumping and burping and slurping and slinging snot like you were a few moments ago, but I've learned a long time ago, when you get real quiet and you look at me like you're loosening the caboose, preacher, you've been reading my mail. I'm going to tell you, that's when I know that I'm getting where you're living. So won't you listen to me? Say deliverance. And the mom and dad, you ought to hear them correct him. Oh, isn't he sweet? Now, don't you do that. No. Don't you do that. And I'm sitting there just seething and boiling. I know what my dad would do. There was a paddle hung up in our house underneath the words, I need thee every hour. How many knows what I'm saying? Precious memories, how they linger. How many knows what I'm saying? He knew how to get to the bottom of things. And I was usually sorry in the end. Amen. Well, anyway, folks, I'm going to tell you, I took all I could take. And here I am, a guest in their house. But this boy, I mean, he is going to turn out. I mean, I know that he needs some correction. He's not mine, but Lord, this is wrong. And so I'm telling you, God done a real favor for me. One day, the little feller, when his mom was in the kitchen, pushed the door open and trotted in my room. When he did, I grabbed him and I went pow, 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 three times. And he went, ooh, ooh, ooh. And he turned and looked at me and left screaming and hollering. Don't know what he was saying, but he went to his mom. Oh, no, boy, here, just hollering up a storm. And she said, what in the world is wrong? Oh, no, boy, yeah, he just hollering. She said, what happened? I came out. I said, what happened? I said, I heard the commotion in here. Tell me what's going on. That little feller, I knew he couldn't talk and tell us what happened, so I stood there. He looked at his mom and he went, oh, blah, 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 blah. And I just started just moaning and groaning and grunting. And I said, God love him. What in the world happened to you, pal? Oh, you sweet little thing, you know. Oh, he couldn't. He was so mad. You could see it in his face. His pacifier was gone. And I mean, he didn't know that that could happen to him. And I'm going to tell you what happened, folks. She still don't know what happened to him. I believe the boy's a missionary somewhere today. Amen. I believe that one encounter changed his life, because I'm going to tell you, from that time on, he wouldn't come in our room. When he would see me, he'd move out of the way and kind of look at me. He'd sit across the table. You talk about revering me. Oh, he had reverence for me. And all he would do, he would grunt. I got the biggest blessing I ever got in my life, folks. And I got a greater blessing thinking of it today. I remember that feeling. It was so wonderful. Well, come on, shout amen, somebody. Well, I said all that to say this, folks. You know, if you don't correct them when they're that age, how many knows? The playpen or the state pen, how many knows? Correction's coming down the road. Come on. Say amen, somebody. But I thought about that today. Pow, pow, pow. That felt so good. Seeing him flying through the air, looking at me, taking off. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, I said all that to say this. When you're totally submitted to God, you don't pamper the devil. You don't pet him. You don't pat him. He's a destroyer. He'll get by with whatever you let him get by with. You let him come in your bedroom and tear things up in your living room, in your house, and you begin to pat, pet, and pamper and put up what he puts out. I'm going to tell you, it's not long before you get a monster on your hands and you're asking God to do it. God said, no, I've told you to do it. I'm going to tell you right now, the Church of Jesus Christ has seen a lot in the last days. In the last days, we've seen families lost, families divided, destroyed, devoured, and devastated. And I'm going to tell you, you're looking at a mad preacher. I said, you're looking at a mad preacher. I'm not mad at you, but I'm mad at the spirits of this age. I'm mad at the devil. I'm mad at sin. I'm mad because young guys and gals are out tonight, blood oozing out of their veins as lifeless bodies lay on the pavement. Sirens are wailing in the distance, and the heart stops beating, and they bust hell wide open. And I'm going to tell you right now, if we'd have a real, genuine Holy Ghost revival, we'd stop the devil dead in his tracks and see college kids and young people saved by the blood of Jesus. Come on, church. It's not time to stop playing games. Let's stop playing games. Let's have a Holy Ghost revival. Put the devil in his place. No devil. I mean no. In the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet and give him a hand of praise. Come on, give him a hand of praise, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God, I want you to lift your hands all over this building, and I want you to praise him for just a few moments. I want you to praise him. I'm not finished with my message, but God told me to stop. It's time to praise him, church. It's time to praise him. Lift your voice. Lift your voice and praise him. Oh, God, come on, praise him. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I don't want anybody leaving the building. I've asked God to station a sentry outside the door to keep the devil out and keep the people in. God gave me this message, good news about the devil. I want you to listen to me, folks. And I'm talking to you from my heart. Been a preacher 21 years. I've seen a lot. Not as much as a lot of you have seen. I've seen, if you will, blood flow to the horse's bridle. In church business meetings, district councils, sectional meetings, I've seen religious politics, people fight each other, church splits and splinters, church down the road fight the church up the road. And I got so sick. In the middle of getting so sick of all of this, you see, the reason I was sick is people sliding down the chute in a handcart to hell without God. And the church become a fight house instead of a lighthouse. I made up my mind, Lord, that's not your will. Fasting and praying, seeking God, God showed me I was full of junk. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You're praying, seeking God, and God shows you all the junk around you. Don't get up and preach it yet. Stay. He'll show you that you got it in you too. Stay until he exposes sin in you. And I stayed. If I jumped up and preached about your problems and every church in town what's wrong, I wouldn't have been ready. God said, Davis, you got pornography. HBO, Showtime, Cinemax. You think about what's on when you're in service. It's got to come out. That desire, that lust. There are spirits that are gathering around your mind. Davis, you're thinking about owning houses and homes and cars. You've got a grudge against your sister for 7 years. Wouldn't talk to a sister. Preaching, man of God. Ain't nobody knew that about me. District superintendent introduced me one time as the next Billy Graham. I'm going to tell you something, folks. 3,000 people there, I thought, my God, if he only knew. But he didn't know. He didn't know. And you don't know. And I don't know about you. You see, you can be dressed up on the outside and messed up on the end. But I don't see pretty people in pretty clothes. I see a battlefield tonight. And I see blood flowing. I see people wounded. Some of you that'll tell me you're fine when I ask you how you're doing. Your son's going to hell. Your daughter's lost without God. Your marriage is on the rocks. Demons are in your home right now, dividing, devouring. And that's not the will of God. And that's why this revival is not about me coming and pamper you and win friends, influence people, not on your life. I don't even care what you think about me. I don't want to preach in any church. I want to be where God wants me to be. And that's where I'm at right now. And I'm not a smart aleck. People that's been here 15 weeks, if you'll say, is John Davis a smart aleck? They'll say no, because I'm not. I'm sick of myself. And I'm sick of everything I'm seeing. But I'm hungry for Jesus. I've seen pure God, folks, and he's so wonderful. He'll set you free, deliver you from and to a life of anointing and authority and freshness and freedom and fullness. And when people see you, they won't see the junk. Jesus plus your personality. Jesus plus your idiosyncrasies. Jesus plus, that's just her way. No, folks. They won't see that. They'll see the pure God. And that's what this revival is all about. I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want you to lie to the Holy Ghost. My God, I've told you things about me that are secret. My wife told me one time, why do you have to tell everything about your past? I'll tell you why, because I don't care what you think. He set me free. And he told me he's going to use me to see you set free. And there's going to be ministries that's going to get on the front line. And there's going to be a last fast wave of God's glory. And then the trumpet's going to sound. And you're my brother and you're my sister. I don't know where you're from, but we're going to rise together. I said there's going to be a meeting in the air. And it's time to get rid of the junk. It's time to repent. I can't rebuke your sin. I can't rebuke that junk. You've got to repent. Submit to God. Bow your head and close your eyes. Father, in Jesus' name, I release the convicting presence of the Holy Ghost to circle this auditorium. I remove all obstructions. Satan, you're a liar. I curse you. I coax and cancel your assignment against people. My God, I feel destiny. And Father, this is your night. You're going to pull people out of the comfort zone, out of their pew in a few moments. And they're going to run, not to John Davis, not for a feeling or manifestation. They're going to run to Jesus to repent and submit. And junk's coming out and the glory's going in. And our family's going to be saved. Our home's going to be delivered. And our churches are going to experience revival before the gospel clarion trumpet sounds. In the name of the mighty Jesus. In the name of the mighty Jesus. I release you right now. All over this building, I set you free. The Holy Spirit's moving right now. In 16 weeks, going on 16 weeks, over 10,000 people have come forward to repent. And that estimate is very conservative. Highway patrolman, our friend, told me, John, it's more like 16,000-17,000 people, but we're not playing with numbers. Some have come for the first time, some are backsliders, and some came for reaffirmation to get rid of that doubt. I don't know, folks, all that's going on. I know people have been set free for 15 weeks. The other night, a lady got the Holy Ghost walking the parking lot. There's an open heaven above this campus. And it's going to be open above this campus to the coming of the Lord. I really believe that because people are praying every night at 6 o'clock. Saturdays, 6 o'clock from 7, prayer, 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 prayer. That's why I'm excited about being here. It's God bringing a team together for an outpouring on a four-state area. But right now, in Jesus' name, I've told you what others have done. You're not here by accident or coincidence. In the providence of God, He brought you here tonight to set you free from sin. To set you free from junk. What does the devil have in you? Critical spirit, lust, greed, wrong motives, wrong priorities, judgmental attitude. What does he have in you? It belongs to him. He'll black maul you, blacklist you. I'm telling you right now, he'll jerk you around and you'll never have deliverance and freedom until you submit to God and repent. John Davis, there's junk in me and I want God to take it out. There's junk in me, and I want God to take it out in the name of Jesus. Right now, I rebuke that spirit of pride. Your pride will keep you back there at that pew, and you'll stand there smug and snug because of pride. That's the biggest sin. That's the biggest sin. That's the sin of Satan. That's the sin that causes all the others. You got to say no to yourself and submit your life to God. John Davis, there's junk in my life, and I want God to take it out. I'm coming tonight to submit and to repent, and I'm not ashamed. I'm coming to Jesus. Time is short. Life is brief. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm coming to repent. If I'm talking to you right now, get out of your seat and run down here. Hurry up. Don't wait a second. I just saw somebody climb over somebody else. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing. Come and stand. Come and stand. Hurry up. There's a crowd coming right now. John Davis, there's junk in me. And I want God to take it out. Hurry.